Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and this is Nurse Carmen, and again, we welcome you. And how appropriate that song is, I need you, you need me, we need each other. We're all a part of God's house. And again, thank you for tuning in, and now we will have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in once again to our podcast. As I've stated, if there might be something that I'm saying that you're not familiar with, you can feel free to ask, but you can also ask within. One of the things that I like to say, and throughout this podcast, you will hear me say it quite a few times, and that is, if you don't go within, you will go without. Now, I've been taught that you can't always have what we desire, that God won't give it to us if it's not for our highest good. And I want you to know that that's something people tell you when they want you not to be disappointed with a particular outcome. First of all, God doesn't give you anything. You call it forth. Secondly, God don't make a judgment about what you call forth. God doesn't call a thing good or bad. And you too would do well to not do so. You are a created being made in the image and likeness of God. You may have whatever you choose, but you may not have anything you want, in fact. You'll never get anything you want if you want it badly enough. And that's because thoughts are creative, and the thought of wanting a thing is a statement to the universe, a declaration of a truth, which the universe then produces in your reality. The moment you say, I want something, the universe says, indeed, you do, and gives you that precise experience, the experience of wanting it. Whatever you put after the word I becomes your creative command, the genie in the bottle, which I am, exists but to obey. God produces what you call forth. You call forth precisely what you think, feel, and say. It's as simple as that. Now, you might say, so why does it take so much time for me to create the reality I choose? For a number of reasons. Because you do not believe you can have what you choose. Because you do not know what to choose. Because you keep trying to figure out what's best for you. Because you want guarantees ahead of time that all your choices will be good. And because you keep changing your mind. Now, most people believe if they have a thing, more money, more time, more love, whatever, then they can finally do a thing. Write a book, take up a hobby, go on vacation, buy a home, undertake a relationship, which allows them to be a thing, happy, peaceful, content, or in love. In actuality, they are reversing the be-do-have paradigm. In the universe as it really is, as opposed to how you think it is, havingness does not produce beingness, but the other way around. First, you be the thing called happy, or knowing, or wise, or compassionate, or whatever. Then you start doing things from this place of beingness. And soon you discover that what you are doing winds up bringing you the things you've always wanted to have. The way to set this creative process, and that's what it is, the process of creation, into motion is to look at what it is you want to have. Ask yourself what you think you would be if you had that. Then go right straight to being. In this way, you reverse the way you've been doing the be-do-have paradigm and actually set it right and work with rather than against the creative powers of the universe. Here is a short way of stating the principles. In life, you do not have to do anything. It is all a question of what you are being. This is one of the three messages I will touch on again throughout this conversation. For now, to illustrate this, think of a person who just knows that if he could only have a little more time, a little more money, or a little more love, he'd be truly happy. See, now he does not get the connection between his not being very happy right now and his not having the time, money, or love he wants. So, on the other hand, the person is being happy to have time to do everything that's really important, all the money that's needed and enough love to last a lifetime. So now he finds that everything he needs to be happy to be unhappy to begin with. So what I'm saying is we feel as if we had some more money, we could be happy. And what I'm saying to you is be happy and the money will come. If that is what it is that you're looking for. And so the question is to be or not to be. Happiness is a state of mind. And like all states of mind, it reproduces itself in physical form. There's a statement of a refrigerator. That's a statement for a refrigerator magnet. All states of mind reproduce themselves. But how can then you say, how can you be happy to begin with or be anything you are seeking to be, more prosperous, for instance, or more love, if you are not having what you think you need in order to be that? And I say, act as if you are. and you will draw it to you. What you act as if you are, you become. In other words, fake it until you make it. It's something like that, only you can't really be faking. Your actions have to be sincere. Everything you do, do out of sincerity, or the benefit of the action is lost. This is not because God won't reward you. God does not reward and punish, as you know, but natural laws require the body, mind, and spirit to be united in thought, word, and action for the process of creation to work. You cannot fool your mind. If you are insecure and sincere, your mind knows it. And that's that. You just ended any chances that your mind can help you in the creative process. You can, of course, create without your mind. It's just a great deal more difficult. You can ask your body to do something your mind doesn't believe. And if your body does it long enough, your mind will begin to let go of its former thoughts about that and create a new thought. Once you have a new thought about a thing, you're well on your way to creating it as a permanent aspect of your being, rather than something you're just acting out. This is doing things the hard way, and even in such instances, the actions must be sincere. Unlike what you do with people, you cannot manipulate the universe. So here we have a very delicate balance. The body does something in which the mind does not believe. Yet the mind must add the ingredients of sincerity to the body's actions for it to work. And then you say, well, how can the mind add sincerity when it does not believe in it, what the body is doing? By taking out the selfish element of personal gains. Your mind may not be able to sincerely agree that the body, the actions of the body can bring you what you choose, but the mind seems very clear that God will bring good things through you to another. Therefore, whatever you choose for yourself, give to another. Whatever you choose for yourself, give to another. If you choose to be happy, cause another to be happy. If you choose to be prosperous, cause another to be prosper. If you choose more love in your life, cause another to have more love in theirs. Do this sincerely, not because you seek personal gain, but because you really want the other person to have that. And all the things you give away will come to you. The very act of your giving something away causes you to experience that you have it to give away. Since you cannot give to another something you do not now have, your mind comes to a new conclusion, a new thought about you, namely that you must have this or you could not be giving it away. This new thought becomes your experience. You start being that. And once you start being a thing, you've engaged the gears of the most powerful creation machine in the universe, your divine self. Whatever you are being, you are creating. The circle is complete, and you will create more and more of that in your life. It will be manifest in your physical experience. This is the greatest secret of life. If you give to another manipulation meant to get something to come to you, your mind knows this. You've just given it a signal that you do not now have this. And since the universe is nothing but a big copy machine reproducing your thoughts in physical form, that will be your experience. That is, you will continue to experience not having it, no matter what you do. Furthermore, that will be the experience of the person to whom you're trying to give it. They will see that you are merely seeking to get something, that you have nothing really to offer, and your giving will be an empty gesture, seen for all the self-serving shallowness from which it sprung. The very thought thing you sought to attract, you will thus push away. Yet, when you give something to another with purity of heart, because you see that they want it, need it, and should have it, then you will discover that you have it to give. And that is a grand discovery. What I'm proposing, you see, is that you already have the answers to that question. Right now, you are living the thought that you do not have the answers, that if you had the answers, you would have wisdom. So you come to God for wisdom. Yet I say to you, be wisdom, and you will have it. And what is the fastest way to be wisdom? Cause another to be wise. So now I'll ask you the question. I'll pretend that I don't know, and you give me the answer. How can the parent who pulled the child out of traffic by truly loving the child, if love means that you want for the other what they want for themselves? How can a parent who pulls a child out of traffic
pull them out because they don't want them to get hurt? They don't want any harm to come to their child, so we're going to pull them out. That's how to do so.
Okay, that would be that's a very good answer. If that's true, then, as God should be doing nothing but stopping us from harming ourselves, for it can't be our deepest desire to do damage to ourselves, yet we do not damage to ourselves, but we do damage to ourselves all the time. So do you say God just sits around and watches us?
He gave us free will to do what we choose.
Yeah, the same way you gave your child free will as well. You gave your child free will, but because a child doesn't know better, they still go out into the street. And then when the child goes out in the street, you rescue them. You're rescuing them from something that they thought that they needed to do, but they didn't need to do. So God is always in touch with you.
Since he's not judging what we choose to do, why is he going to stop us? Since he's not judging what we do, he doesn't, there's no right or wrong, just our choice to do what we choose, why would he stop us?
Well, this is why he doesn't stop us.
Right, right.
This is why he doesn't stop us. Because just know that God is always in touch with your deepest desire and will always give you that. Even when you do something that would cause you to die, if that is your deepest desire, that is what you get, the experience of dying. And God never, ever interferes with your deepest desire. And you know, we look at it like dying, but you got to understand, you cannot do damage to yourselves. You are incapable of being damaged. Damage is a subjective reaction, not an objective phenomenon. You can choose to experience damage to yourself out of any encounter or phenomenon, but that is entirely your decision. Given that truth, the answer to the question is, yes, when you have damaged yourself, it is because you wanted to. But I'm speaking on a very high esoteric level, and that is not really where the question is coming from. In that sense that you meant it, it's a matter of conscious choice. God would say no every time you do something that damages yourself. It is not because you wanted to. The child who gets hit by a car because he wandered in the street did not want, desire, seek to get hit by the car. The man who keeps marrying the same kind of woman, one who is wrong for him, packaged in different forms, did not want, desire, seek, consciously choose to create bad marriages. Yet all objective phenomenon is drawn to you subconsciously. All events are created by your unconsciously. every person, place, or thing in your life was drawn to you by you, was self-created, if you will, to provide you with the exact and perfect condition, the perfect opportunity to experience what you next wish to experience as you go about the business of evolving. Nothing can happen, I say to you, nothing can occur in your life which is not a precise, perfect opportunity for you to heal something, create something, or experience something that you wish to heal, create, or experience in order to be who you really are. And if
Amen.
Anybody knows me, if anybody
Amen.
Knows me and hear what it is that I've got to say, they know I'm always saying all things are working together for the good.
That's right. Thank you.
Whomever you choose to be, whatever aspect of divinity you wish to be, that who you are, that can change at any given moment. Indeed, it often does, from moment to moment. Yet, if you want your life to settle down, to stop bringing you such a wide variety of experience, there's a way to do that. Simply stop changing your mind so often about who you are and who you choose to be. Now, I'm gonna repeat that. Whomever you choose to be, whatever aspect of divinity you wish to be, that's who you are. That can change at any given moment indeed. It often does from moment to moment. Yet, if you want your life to settle down, to stop bringing you such a wide variety of experiences, there's a way to do that. Simply stop changing your mind so often about who you are and who you choose to be. So you say, well, that may be easier said than done. What I see is that you are making these decisions at many different levels. The child who decides to go into the street to play in traffic is not making a choice to die. She may be making a choice, a number of other choices, but dying is not one of them. The mother knows that. The problem here is not that the child has chosen to die, but that the child has made choices that could lead to more than one outcome, including her dying. It is not clear to her. It is unknown to her. It is the missing data which stops the child from making a clear choice, a better choice. Now, as God will never interfere with your choices, but God will always know what they are. Therefore, you may assume that if a thing happens to you, it is perfect that it did so, for nothing escapes perfection in God's world. I'm going to say that again because we like to blame so much stuff on this devil and all this stuff. Please know that God is in control. God is in control, so that means that nothing happens to you. It is perfect that it did so, for nothing escapes perfection in God's world. The design of your life, the people, places, and events in it have all been perfectly created by the perfect creator of perfection itself. And you know who that is? You and
mm-hmm.
God. In, as, and through you. Now, we can work together in the co-creative process consciously or unconsciously. You can move through life aware or unaware. You can walk your path asleep or awake. You choose. If all you desire is what your soul desires, everything would be very simple. If you listen to the part of you which is pure spirit, all of your decisions will be easy. And all the outcomes joyous. That is because the choice of spirits are always the highest choice. They don't need to be second-guessed. They don't need to be analyzed or evaluated. They simply need to be followed, act out. Yet, You are not only a spirit, you are a triune being made up of body, mind, and spirit. That is both the glory and the wonder of you. For you often make decisions and choices at all three levels simultaneously, and they by no means always coincide. It is not uncommon for your body to want one thing while your mind seeks another. This can be especially true for children who are often not yet mature enough to make distinctions between what sounds like fun to the body and what makes sense to the mind, much less what resonates the soul. So the child waddles in the street. Now, as God's aware of all your choices, even those you make subconsciously. God will never interfere with them, but rather just the opposite. It is God's job to ensure that your choices are granted. In truth, you grant them to yourself. What God has done is put a system into place that allows you to do that. The system is called the process of creation, and it's been explained throughout these numerous podcasts, and we'll go over it numerous times again. When you choose conflict, when body, mind, and spirit are not acting as one, the process of creation works at all levels, producing mixed results. If one, on the other hand, your being is in harmony and your choices are unified, astonishing things can occur. Your young people have a phase having it all together, which could be used to describe this unified state of being. There are also levels within levels in your decision-making. This is particularly true at the level of the mind. Your mind can and does make decisions and choices from one of at least three interior levels: logic, intuition, and emotion, and sometimes from all three, producing the potential for even more inner conflict. And within one of those levels, emotions, there are five more levels. These are the five natural emotions: grief, anger, envy, fear, and love. And within these, also, there are two final levels: love and fear. The five natural emotions include love and fear, yet love and fear are the basis of all emotions. The other three of the five natural emotions are outgrowths of these two. Ultimately, all thoughts are sponsored by love or fear. This is the great polarity. This is the primal duality. Everything ultimately breaks down to one of these. All thoughts, ideas, concepts, understandings, decisions, choices, and actions are based in one of these. And in the end, there is really only one, and that is love. In truth, love is all there is. Fear is an outgrowth of love, and when used effectively, expresses love. So you said fear expresses love in its highest form? Yes. Everything expresses love when the expression in its highest form. Does a parent who saves a child from being killed in traffic express fear or love? Well, both fear for the child's life and love for the child. So here we see that fear is in its highest form becomes love. Is love expressed as fear? Similarity, moving up the scale of natural emotions, grief, anger, and envy are all some form of fear, which in turn is some form of love. One thing leads to another. The problem comes in when any of the five natural emotions become distorted. Then they become grotesque and not recognizable at all as outgrowths of love, much less as God, which is what absolute love is. So grief is a natural emotion. It is that part of you which allows you to say goodbye when you don't want to say goodbye, to express, push out, propel the sadness within you at the experience of any kind of loss. It could be the loss of a loved one or the loss of a contact lens. When you are allowed to express your grief, you get rid of it. Children are allowed to be sad when they are sad, feels very healthy about sadness when they're adults, and therefore usually move through their sadness very quickly. Children who are told there, don't cry, have a hard time crying as adults. After all, they've been told all their life not to do that, so they repress the grief. Grief, that is continued repression, become chronic depression, a very unnatural emotion. People have killed because of chronic depression. Wars have started. Nations have. Anger is a natural emotion. It is the tool you have which allows you to say, no, thank you. It does not have to be abusive. It never has to be damaging to another. When children are allowed to express their anger, they bring a very healthy attitude about it to their adult years, and therefore usually move through their anger very quickly. Children who are made to feel that their anger is not okay, that it is wrong to express it, and in fact, they shouldn't even experience it, will have a difficult time appropriately dealing with this anger as adults. Anger that is continually repressed becomes rage, a very unnatural emotion. People have killed because of rage. Wars have started. Nations have fallen. And as we get ready to come to a conclusion, I just want to talk about envy for a split second. Envy is a natural emotion. It is the emotion that makes a five-year-old wish he could reach the doorknob the way his sister can, or ride that bike. Envy is a natural emotion that makes you want to do it again, to try harder, to continue striving until you succeed. It is very healthy to be envious, very natural. When children are allowed to express their envy, they bring a very healthy attitude about it to their adult years, and therefore usually move through their envy very quickly. Children who are made to feel that envy is not okay, that it is wrong to express it, and in fact they shouldn't even experience, will have a difficult time appropriately dealing with their envy as adults. Now, envy that is continually repressed becomes jealousy, and a very unnatural emotion. People have killed because of jealousy. Fear is a natural emotion. All babies are born with only two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. All other fears are learned responses brought to the child by its environment, taught to the child by its parents. The purpose of natural fear is to build in a bit of caution. Caution is a tool that help keeps the body alive. It is an outgrowth of love, love of self. Love of self. Love of self. And as we get ready to end this, I just want us to know that love of self is very, very, very important. Some people might think it's selfish, but how can you love someone else if you don't love yourself? You Amen. Have got to learn how to love yourself first. And then once you've learned how to love yourself, then you can begin to give love to others.
All
on that
right,
note,
now.
I do thank those that tuned in tonight for the podcast. We will be back Sunday at 9 o'clock. Tell a friend. We've got a word. And as I said before, it's so important that you take this message and what you've heard and have that personal conversation with God for confirmation. Don't take it just because I said it, but have that relationship so that the Spirit, try the Spirit by the Spirit, and see is it of God. I do thank you all for tuning in, and I look forward to talking to you again Sunday, 9 o'clock. Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
All right.